Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back. New week, new podcast. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 451 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. On today's show, we are discussing the importance of family dinners. 80% of teenagers say that family dinner is the time of day that they are most likely to talk to their parents. And even if you don't have teenagers, children of all ages benefit from family dinners. We'll talk about exactly why that is in today's interview. But even if you don't have children, the opportunity to sit around a table without technology and have a conversation with your loved ones, those opportunities are becoming rarer and rarer in our over-digitized, always-on lives. And so here to talk to me today about the why and specifically the how to make family dinners a staple in your home again is Annette Thurman. Annette's a blogger over at azurefarm.com, and she's also the author of the new book coming out on April 6th. It's titled Simple Country Living: Techniques, Recipes, and Wisdom for the Garden, Kitchen, and Beyond. Annette, I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, you have a book. It's coming out April 6th. Tell us about the book, but more specifically, tell us about who you are and what you blog about, what you write about.
So yeah, my name's Annette, and I'm from a little town in Adairsville called Adairsville, Georgia. It's about an hour north of Atlanta, Georgia. And yeah, we started this journey like 8 years ago, and it's been really fun to experience new things and learn new things. And in the process, I've been now able to write a book. The book is called Simple Country Living. And I'm excited because it's something tangible that people can hold and read, ways to, I believe, make their life better. I share my daily kind of farm life on Instagram, social media, and then I weekly blog on my blog, just gardening, caring for animals, recipes, ways to live this life. And it's been fun. It's been a fun ride. And the book is just like the icing on top because it's something people can really have in their homes and learn from for a long time. So I'm excited.
I was fortunate enough to read an advanced copy, and oh my goodness, the photos, they're so beautiful. The whole book is great, but the photos especially, it's a little bit gardening how-to, a little bit recipes. It's just a really motivational book. So thank you for letting me see it ahead of time. Today, we're talking about the kitchen and specifically family dinners. I read a statistic in preparing for this episode that even though family mealtimes, they're hugely beneficial for everybody in the family, but especially for kids. Only about 30% of American families eat together regularly in 2024. I think we all know why that is. We're all busy. We're overworked. We're overscheduled. The kids, the parents, everybody. But I hear all the time, my mom says it to me, my grandmother always said it to me growing up, the kitchen is the heart of the home. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I love that expression. To be quite honest, I don't think I knew what that meant to me till I really started doing more in the kitchen. I think we consider it like, oh, you just warm up a meal, or yeah, like you said, we're so busy that it wasn't until I had to force myself to start really making our family meals that I realized it's the heart of the home, because it's where the magic happens. It's where everything happens. It's where a lot of times, number one, you are congregating a lot. So it's a place for family time because you are making those meals and you are in the kitchen a lot. It's a place where you can provide for your family by actually feeding your families. It's this important thing. And it's just a place where if you start to make more meals at home, I think it'll be like a springboard to just so many other things. It opens up so many other things. And so to me, it's the heart of the home. It's just where all the magic happens and what a lot of not just cooking, but just memorable moments in the home.
Absolutely. I'll be honest, I didn't understand what that saying, that platitude, the kitchen is the heart of the home, meant until within the last maybe 2 or 3 years. Because for me, when my kids were younger, cooking was a drag. It was a chore that I didn't have the time, effort, energy, bandwidth to do. Now my kids are older. I have a bit of space in my own schedule. They're at school all day. They don't need my constant attention. The kitchen is the heart of the home for me because when I'm creating these family meals and specifically family dinners, I'm quite literally infusing them with love. Like I'm chopping up the onions small because I know my youngest daughter will eat them if I put a little bit more effort in, right? I'm actually cooking meals with love, whereas before I was throwing something on the table just so we could all get sustenance. But for people who are listening to us right now and they're thinking to themselves, the kitchen is not the heart of this home. It's the TV room, perhaps, or the playroom. What words of encouragement would you have for those listeners to take back the kitchen, so to speak?
I think in our world today, there's like this mentality where it's all or nothing. Like I either have to make all my meals from scratch and do all my meals from home. And it's, or like just this mentality of we want it all at once. And my thought is, why not just start with saying, open up the opportunity to do one meal at home together a week that really spend time to actually cook and make and sit down and enjoy together. And it doesn't have to be this kind of overwhelming thought of, I don't have time. I don't know how to do this. How am I going to incorporate it into my life? It doesn't have to be that. It can be just simple steps of saying, we're going to start with one evening a week and see how that goes. And I believe that as you start doing that and start infusing some of those moments and times together where you maybe get exposed to what it's like to make those meals with love and enjoy the time together, you might want to start doing it more. Would be my hope. And then add in an extra night a week. I think it doesn't need to be this, I don't know how to do that. There's no way I can possibly cook all our meals and us sit down at the dinner table every night. You don't have to do it every night. And that's probably not realistic to do it every night in a lot of households. But I think most can do it at least one night. So I would say be encouraged that you can start somewhere and use that as a building block to go from there.
Your answer there is really starting to touch on the benefits of a regular-ish, or at least more than never, family dinner practice, right? There's the mental health benefits in addition to the nutritional benefits. The nutritional benefits, of course, there's been over 2 decades, I believe, of research that kids who grow up having somewhat regular family dinners, they tend to eat healthier, they have lower rates of obesity, and that's, of course, because a meal that's cooked at home tends to be lower in fat and sugar and salt. And on top of that, it's more natural for children to get more fruit and vegetables and fiber in the home-cooked meal. Because again, if we go back to infusing meals with love, like I'm making this thing, I'm thinking, what can I add to the dinner table tonight to round out the nutritional profile that I'm trying to create here? So that's the nutritional benefits. But then on the other side, there's the mental health benefits as well. They're associated with higher rates of academic performance in school, lower rates of depression and anxiety in teenagers specifically, lower rates of substance abuse and eating disorders, and higher rates of the things we want to see more of, resilience, self-esteem. And so everybody's always thinking about, you know, how can I help my kids? How can I be a better parent? It's sitting down around the dinner table. Like perhaps we start there. And so I'm not even getting to the cooking yet because I know there's a whole subset of listeners who are like, but I hate to cook. And so if the kitchen is not the heart of the home, and I mean to that to say, like, if you and your family members are not regularly congregating in the kitchen just to chit chat, I love the idea of heat mapping your home, so to speak, like asking yourself and your family members, where are you all spending the most amount of time? Is it in front of the TV? Is it? I mean, no shade if it is, no judgment. But maybe we do that around the kitchen island, perhaps. No cooking involved. Maybe we just move everybody into the kitchen. So I don't know. I would think that might be a thing to consider. But now I want to talk about the cooking. Number one, it's a lot of work, a lot of time. And while I love the idea of incorporating my children into the creation of meals, No joke, cooking with my kids takes twice as long and creates 10 times the mess. Give me the why. Like, what are the benefits of routinely including our children in the meal preps? Because I'll be honest, if I had it my way, they would stay the heck out of the heart of the home.
Yeah. Again, it's very hard. It absolutely takes a lot more time. So that's where I feel like, again, it maybe doesn't have to be this all or nothing. It's like, hey, one night a week, we cook together as a family. It's what we do. And you can plan then to say, maybe you can again, it takes time and effort, but chop some things and have it like ready so that then when they come in, they're just maybe mixing stuff in and you're not like prepping from zero and starting that whole process. Give yourself a little bit of maybe having some things ready. And it could be even simple things like older kids say, hey, I tried a variation of this recipe. Why don't you rewrite it for me? And let's make a new recipe card. And they can sit and maybe write down the recipe or just encouraging everyone to work together. If you garden at all, maybe they can run outside. I have, my daughter is 4 and she loves to go outside. I have like little tiny pots with herbs. And so she's good at going to just gather like little herbs and things like that and bringing them in. So I don't think it needs to be this thought of everyone's in the kitchen for an hour and a half, the entire time prepping. And that's not realistic. It's moments where I think they realize, oh, hey, like I can contribute too. They can help set the table, maybe. That could be something they're doing while you're cooking, doing more of the actual cooking. It's just the thought of, again, maybe getting away from being in our own thing, maybe getting them away from distractions or doing something else, making everyone work together towards this thought of, hey, we do meals together as a family. It's a thing we do. It might be awkward at first if you've never done it, but like the statistics show, eventually it's going to be really good for you and your family if you try to do it.
I am thinking about the benefits, the laundry list of benefits that I read out earlier. It seems to me that the lion's share of those mental health and emotional benefits that I listed, the magic sauce there is the interaction with the parents, the interaction between kids and parents. And so if we're incorporating our children into the work of the kitchen, what we're really doing is we're extending the amount of time that we're spending time with them, right? And so that seems worth it to me. I am also thinking about how important it is to probably prep ingredients beforehand. I'm thinking about the last time I made cookies with my kids and nothing was prepped and they're like fighting in the corner and I'm trying to find all the ingredients. And so, yeah, so certainly some advanced preparation on the part of the adult needs to happen, but perhaps that advanced work is worth it in terms of benefits. And so I do want to ask you about other suggestions, other ways to incorporate kids into the home. But I do want to say too, something I've been working on in my own home with my children is talking and verbalizing with them about how when we all step up in anything, in any chore, housework in general, when we all step up, it means we all have more equal time for rest, right? So instead of the kids playing all day and mom working herself to the bone, them doing a little bit more means mom gets to do a little bit less and mom gets to relax a little bit more. My 10-year-old has globbed onto that idea. That really resonates with her. It makes sense to her. And so I just say that for anybody with older children, perhaps try that if you're struggling getting them to help out. We're going to take our sponsor break, Annette, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some strategies from your book to help the kids help you. We'll do that after a quick sponsor break. Mother's Day is around the corner, and I have the best gift idea for you. Hold on to your hats. It's mylifeinabook.com. Every week, My Life in a Book will send your mom a question via email. They will compile all of your mom or the mom in your life's answers and create a legacy keepsake book. The book becomes something you and future generations can treasure forever. I gave both my mother and my mother-in-law My Life in a Book, and they've already started responding to the prompts when my mother-in-law received her first prompt, she said, oh my goodness, what a thoughtful gift. And that's what we all want, right? We all want to give thoughtful gifts. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day, mylifeinabook.com, and use code SUSTAINABLE for 10% off today. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. And we're back. Today I'm speaking with Annette Thurman. She is the author of the new book. It's coming out April 6th, titled Simple Country Living: Techniques, Recipes, and Wisdom for the Garden, Kitchen, and Beyond. She's also the brains behind AzureFarm.com, linked in this week's show notes. Annette, I'd love some more ideas you have for incorporating children into the work of the kitchen. You mentioned set the table. Tell me more about, I think you mentioned something about a recipe, writing down a recipe. The teacher in me thinks, what a great way to get a child to practice their spelling, their penmanship. It sounds like a great extension activity. Tell me how that works in your house.
Yeah, I have some. Actually, I'm reading from the book here. I have it opened up. And my thought is, it can start even before the meal. So for example, if you're going to the grocery store together, let them pick out some of the ingredients that you're going to use for the meal you're going to make. So they see it full circle and just say, hey, why don't you go grab some carrots over there? This obviously depends on the child's age, your child, and who's able to do what. But it's a thought, knowing where their food comes from. If you have a garden, they can help maybe harvest some of the things and things like that. But the thought is to give each family member a specific task. So whether someone's washing vegetables and then another person is measuring or mixing into a bowl, and then the older ones, my thought was, hey, maybe they can actually like write down the recipe on a recipe card, and they kind of know like, hey, family meals, let's say, are made on Sunday evenings. And so we go to the special recipe box with the family meal recipes and they can put them in there. You're encouraging everyone to work together as a team, right? Because you're all together. And I think it just makes it that much more rewarding at the end. And I had a thought too, it doesn't just, let's say, need to be just the cooking together. So for example, let's say you have a daughter, maybe you can get like little aprons that you can decorate together. And then that's fun. So when you cook family night together, everyone wears their little aprons. I don't know. It doesn't have to just be you are cooking in the kitchen. There's just like this all-encompassing kind of excitement, I think, towards making dinner time together something that's memorable. Children remember the smallest details where you think maybe it wasn't that big a deal, but to them it was a big deal and they remember it as something exciting. So that's my thought, is the role of the family in the home kitchen. Everyone has a role and they can be a part, and hopefully then the result is you are benefiting from all those things like you've read, where your mental health is better, your physical health is better, all those things, because you've spent time together, you're eating nutritious meals, et cetera, et cetera.
I love it. So let's fast forward in the meal creating process. We're going to move along to setting the table. We often think of setting the table as something that we do on special occasions. We do it fancy once in a week, Thanksgiving, once in a while. But you argue in your book, and I love this, but you argue that there are benefits to putting a little bit of extra effort in on your random Tuesday, let's say. What ideas can you offer there to maybe not setting a Thanksgiving table with a tablescape, but putting in a little bit of extra effort?
Yeah, I think it's the thought of that. Just a little extra effort goes a long way, and you're creating memorable moments for yourself and your family. So if you tell your kids, can you help me set the table? They feel like they're, oh, I can set the table. Does it matter if they put the fork in the wrong place? Or I don't personally care. Like, just as long as you got something there, it's great. And make it special. Are there any flowers growing outside? I don't care. Is there pieces of grass that look pretty that you could put in a small vase? It does, again, does not have to be something very elaborate, but it's sweet, and it's just something that when you sit down, you think, oh, we did this together. I had a thought, and this is something we've done, and it's easy, but you can get like a piece of craft roll, like a roll of craft paper, and make that be your tablecloth, and then have someone write like a nice note on everyone's like place setting. And then every day you sit in a different spot and write something nice for that family member. So when they come back and sit down, they can see, oh, there's like a new something somebody wrote about me, or a picture of you of toddlers. They can draw while you're sitting at the table. It doesn't need to be like fine china. You can use disposable plates. Doesn't matter. It's just the thought of we sat together. We made it a little special. One thing I've done, because my daughter is a little bit younger and her attention span is like not there, is we light a candle when we sit at the dinner table. And so I tell her we don't get up until we blow out the candle. And so it's like this thing she knows, like it's special. Ooh, we light a candle, we sit down, we eat dinner. And then when we blow out the candle together, then she can go run off and do whatever. So she looks forward to that. And if I forget and I'm like, I forget about the candle, she's like, Mom, aren't we going to light the candle? And I'm like, oh, sure. Yes, we're going to light the candle. So I don't know. It's just stuff like that. It doesn't have to be complicated, just something to make it special.
Oh, I love that candle idea. And I wish I had it when my daughters were younger. That would have saved me an awful lot of chasing a toddler around the house and putting them back in the chair. But going back to your point, you made it a couple times. You know, how it doesn't have to be big and elaborate. It just has to be a little bit different from the norm. Our children will remember it. I remember reading a story. It was like a tiny little story in some newspaper about a woman who was looking back on her childhood, and her mother, once in a while for dinner, they would have a dinner of things, it was called. And it was just on a plate, a random stuff around the periphery. So maybe a couple blueberries, then a couple crackers, then, you know, an orange slice, and then some rice. Just random stuff around the plate. And the writer, who was now an adult, was saying how that was the most thrilling night. Whenever that night came around, and it wasn't often, it just reminds her of such happy childhood memories. And so the woman then asked her mother, do you remember those days that we had the dinner of things? I love the dinner of things. And the mother, now the grandmother's, jaw dropped. And she said, "Are you kidding me?" Those nights, I was just way too exhausted to cook. And so what I did was I found the food that we had in the kitchen and I presented it, literally presented it on a plate in an interesting way. And so I say all that to say, we could be serving random leftovers in our house and put them around the plate, but as long as we do it with a little love, with a little care, with a little attention to detail, we're making memories. It's a cute idea, right? And it's interesting how one mother's extreme fatigue led to a daughter's happiest childhood memories. But all right, the meal is made, the table is set. Let's fast forward again to everybody sitting around the table. This is where I've had to put a lot of effort because I say to my daughter, "What'd you do today?" And she says, "Good." And then getting more information out of her is like impossible. She's Fort Knox. So talk to me about conversation around the dinner table, specifically getting kids to say more about their day than simply it was good.
I guess a thought would be that it all starts with example. So maybe if we're always the ones trying to get them to talk, but maybe we're not doing some of the sharing about our day and stuff, then maybe it's, "I don't want to share. Why don't you know?" So I've always thought, hey, have you be the one that says, "I'm going to tell you about my day. And this was," you can share like a positive and a negative from the day. "This was my most positive thing today. This is what I did. And this is what I didn't like as much." Do you have a maybe positive or negative from today? So maybe asking like a little more specific versus just like, "Tell me," because man, sometimes they don't talk when they're a certain age. And I don't have that age yet, but I know many who are that age and I know it's hard. But yeah, I think being like intentional and specific, or just having topics like, "Hey, today," don't ask about their day. It's going to be like, "Hey, today it's, I thought it'd be fun if we talk about what's our favorite blank. And I'm just curious, what is your favorite, or what's your favorite meal to eat?" Actually, to make it about food. "Do you like it when we cook this, or do you not?" And maybe you'll get them to say something, or you might find something you didn't know, or maybe you'll be hurt because you'll find out they don't like your favorite one dish you like to make. But I think it's the thought of like, hey, the table time is a safe space. It's a time for us to share. It's not a time to judge each other, or you're not going to get in trouble for what you say or whatever. It's a time to just be together and share and learn from each other. And you take it from there, or is my thought.
Yeah, I like it. And I'll say that my family, we do the high and low. We all go around the table, all four of us, every single night we're sitting there. Yeah. What's the high? What's the low? And I think that dinner conversation, like, it gets easier the more you do it. So if you are a family that you never sit down together, family dinner is foreign, the first couple nights are probably going to be awkward. Like they might be, but it will get better. It will get easier. For my kids, when they say my school day was good, I say, "What's one thing that made you smile today?" So I just like change the question around. You can, and if changing questions around doesn't come naturally to you, you can Google dinner conversation starters and get thousands.
Some days you might have more fluid conversation and some days it might be more awkward, and that's okay. Not everyone is always excited to share. Not everyone has a great day every day. I think it's just the intentionality of doing it and actually taking the time to be present for each other and giving everyone like the space and time to talk is important. It's okay if it doesn't go perfectly well every time.
Absolutely. The conversation in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter as much as you all just sitting together without your phones, without staring at phones, right? We've already established the food might not even matter. The quality, the taste of the food. You can put some random berries on a table, on a plate, and there you go. So one more question for you, Annette, is for the listeners who just say, you know, "I don't have the time. My family, we're just so overscheduled. We're busy. I don't have the time for family dinners." What would you say to them?
If you want something bad enough in life, you make the time. We all don't have time. I can use that excuse for everything, meaning we're busy. It's like life. So we can always, I think that's an excuse we make for ourselves because we don't want to take maybe hard steps. But I think if we want something enough, you'll find the time. And so I think you got to tell yourself, how much do I want this? How much do I think this can benefit my family, can benefit me, can benefit? And then it's just saying, let's make time. And I'm even going to tell you this. If you feel like you don't have time to cook your meal and do all that, then you do one night a week where you order carry out or you get food delivered or you go pick it up, but you still sit around the table and you eat that together. This is not a, no, I'm not in one to think like you have to make the home cooked meal and that's what you sit down and enjoy. If you can do that, do I think that's better? I do. But if you can't do that for the time, for time's sake or whatever, it's okay. You have the tradition. You go pick up food and you come and you sit down and you eat it together. It's the thought of making the time to spend together as a family unit around the table is very important. And once you start doing that, I think you'll want more of it. And maybe hopefully some of those other things will then flow from there.
What a great final word. I couldn't have said it better myself, Annette. Tell us one more time where we can find you and more of your goodness online.
Thank you. Yes, Azure Farm is my handle for everything. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on all those other platforms. My blog, azurefarm.com, has lots of resources. There's lots of recipes and information there. And then my new book that will be out. And hopefully that's a way you can also get some ideas. There's also recipes in there as well. So yeah, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful. And hopefully someone can learn something new and try something new because of it.
Listeners, that's a wrap. Show notes are at mamaminimalist.com/451. And today's eco tip comes from Dana. Dana wanted me to mention that at her recycling center, she often finds, quote, totally usable things. Just recently, she found a perfectly good rocker stool and a kid's toy. When she finds perfectly decent stuff at the recycling center, she takes it home, cleans it up, and posts them on Facebook for anybody to take for free. How nice is that, Dana? You doing that for the good of your community? She said she's never had any trouble getting rid of anything that she's taken home and cleaned up and given away. So when you're out and about, and perhaps you're at the recycling center, or wherever you see something perfectly usable that is slated for the landfill, consider taking it home, cleaning it up, and offering it to someone who will love on it. Consider helping extend the lives of these items before they go to the trash. Dana, that is so thoughtful and such a wonderful eco tip. Thank you so much for sharing it. We will be back on Thursday. I'll see you then. As always, say hello. You know where to find me. If you don't know where to find me, the way to do that is in the show notes, social media, email, all the things. I'll see you Thursday and take care.